believing friends, brothers, united as well. Almighty and eternal Father, again we return to worship you in spirit and truth, praying that you will cause us to understand our destiny in the earth as you have ordained it. We might know the majesty of thy grace as it reaches out to thy children to see that they carry out thy objectives in the establishment of the kingdom. That all things will work out well for them that you have destined to conform to thy own image in the midst of the earth. Praying that with the awakening of thy people and the spiritual stimulus of the climax of this age, that we shall see the bringing into thy kingdom with the overthrow of darkness, the conquering of communism and the destruction of evil, and then the peace and the grace which follows in an administration of righteousness to the children of thy kingdom at thy hand that reaches to the ends of the earth. We thank thee for the assurance of a new day, for the mighty hope that belongs unto thy children, and for the resting place of faith that causes us to know that thy word is good and sure, and that thy civilizations and thy kingdom shall survive. And in the great shaking of the earth at this hour, we know that thy kingdom's foundations shall not be shaken, because it has been fixed in thy covenants and thy promises, and that we are the children of thy household. So we say, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We pray mightily tonight for our nation, knowing that within the keeping of the circle of thy will, you inspire thy people to cry out unto thee, and then you adjust them with their awakening, and you will promise to restore unto us. Give unto us leadership that will take a stand for thee and for thy kingdom. Remove from positions of authority those that have abandoned us to the hands of Antichrist. Lift the forces of Antichrist and their bands from us. Drive from our shores all Canaanites of evil that would destroy thy kingdom and give us back our freedom. This, our Father, we cry because we know it is thy will, and the deliverance shall come out of thy hand. And as we pray thus for our nation, we pray for the nations of thy kingdom, that they might be awakened to the conditions of this hour and know wherein they stand. We commit ourselves to thy hand, saying, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Tonight we're discussing the subject of America in the hollow of his hand. And it is one of the most serious hours in our national history. It is a necessity that there are certain things which we must discuss along with this subject. And while to some it may be a repetition of some remarks we made this afternoon to the many listeners who will hear this second tape as it goes across the country, those of you who are not here, it is most important that you know the subject matter of what we are about to say. The most infamous force on the face of the earth, the communist hordes of Antichrist, have with those that financed and created their evil institution, established one of the most satanic of all organizations on the earth. That organization is the political and economic order of the Antichrist, which grades and trumps its activities today under the name United Nations. The United Nations are not United Nations, and they are a grouping of nations which God has forbidden you as a Christian nation to be joined to. The prophecies of the Scripture talk about your being joined to this federation with its walls of untempered mortar, and God's determined to crash you out of it if he has to do it with the hailstones of fire, according to his declarations in Ezekiel. You are unequally yoked together with pagans and with evil, and God will not stand for this. Nor, my friends, would it produce anything but chaos and evil in the earth, and nor has it done anything but this since you have been within it. In fact, the strange thing is that were it not for the great crustaceans of God's kingdom, out of whom the finance has come to produce the bloodstream of this evil society, they could not keep the program of Antichrist going. As Antichrist countries, powers, and systems are parasitical, it is upon the strength of the money taken from you in taxes that this evil that the Antichrist rides on has been built. This evil beast system upon which the mistress of evil rides is the world government system of UN. Now I want to point out to you some things which are really serious. First, the most dangerous thing you face is something that happened yesterday in the United States Senate, and very few people know that it's already passed the Senate, and they hope to pass the Congress of the United States with it tomorrow morning. If this goes through the Congress of the United States tomorrow or the next day, you are no longer a free society, and Congress might as well not reconvene. They want to pass it before they adjourn on the 23rd, and if it passes tomorrow or the next day, they might as well not come back. And I'll tell you what this is. When it first crossed my desk, it came as one of those fantastic bills that you can expect out of a new frontier guided by Jewish influence, one-world socialism and communism. And that was a program called the United States Disarmament Agency for Peace and Security. Now, this Disarmament Agency for Peace and Security was written up in the journal as nothing but a permanent measure which they wanted to establish as a department in order to always investigate the policies of disarmament and peace. And while I would oppose the wasting of 1 cent on such a fallacious project because you don't want to disarm America and you've defeated the last enemy America has, that's time enough to talk about disarmament. But even sad as it might seem, there are always those pacifists who, foolish enough, would seek constantly to disarm us, even at a time when it would not be wise. Now, it was more than this. This was not the truth. People were told, and even the average congressman and senator knows no more about it unless he's in on the trick and belongs to the left-wing group. So this measure, known as House of Representatives Bill 7936, it has already passed the Senate, and both House Foreign Relations Committee, both Senate and House Foreign Relations Committee passed it. It went through the Senate yesterday. Now, much of the work on this bill, which was done secretly, was to push through the House this week before Congress adjourned Saturday the 23rd, so that they could pass it on to the United Nations, who will do the administering, and who will then have police power of the UN to enforce all the edicts that are hidden in this measure. Now, this bill would appoint a dictator director. This premier director would be appointed by the President of the United States, and if his batting average is no better than those he's used, it would probably be a Harvard Jew. And this person would not be answerable to the Congress or to anyone except directly to the executive. In turn, the director would have unlimited powers to do as he wishes, even to handle all inventions and all of the instruments of war or anything produced and manufactured in America that could be used for it. He would have further police power, and more than that, he would get all the funds he needed from not only from the appropriation, but beyond it, from the Treasury without appropriation. If this passes before the House adjourns, there isn't any reason for them to come back at all. Now, Dan Smoots was on the firing line, called Congressman Utt at Santa Ana to alert him to what has transpired, and the congressman, because of the terrible implications of this bill, was actually ill from the implications of it. He said that every American should wire his congressman to defeat this bill in the Congress, and if we don't do that, we have virtually become a police state, and they urged everyone in wiring his congressman, and writing may be too late, so you'll have to wire it. And wiring his congressman to get a carbon copy of it from the Western Union and mail the carbon copy to the Washington Evening Star newspaper in Washington, who's going to use all of the telegrams to help build up a great battle to see that this bill is killed. Now the fact remains that it puts this whole agency with police power of the UN to enforce it, and puts UN policemen all over in America, and they can oppose or crush anybody that they think is opposing their plans for peace. They can sell you out, they can appease, they can do anything they want to do. And Congress will have surrendered its appropriation power, its authority, its control. The patent office will be no protection for American technicians or inventions. They can scrap anything, they can hold anything, they can pull anything out and freeze it up and stop it from being used as an invention. And this is so deadly, and in the hands of an institution that's already so red, they could keep you from ever getting one technological piece of material or equipment in operation, or keep you from ever having a victory again. I think it's time we wake up to this and realize it's a deadly bill. We wouldn't take time to discuss this bill tonight if it were not something that they had put over on everybody and nobody realized what was involved. But it has been brought to light that there are 40 more bills like this, and when you wire your congressman telling not only House of Representatives Bill 7936, but some 40 more bills they're ready to ram through that would tie us up and would use UN power and power of individual dictatorial directors that don't have to answer to the Congress of the United States. It's written right into this bill that this director and this agency can do as it pleases without answering to the Congress of the United States. Well, you say, well, the president could intervene. Well, if we don't have any better leadership than we got of this president, he'd probably join. In the first place, if we had a president, he wouldn't let a thing like this slide through to begin with. He would have alerted the people with his own personal intervention. Now, that's only one side of the issue. Every intelligent, red-blooded American that loves America should be using his influence upon his congressmen, his senators, upon the President of the United States, and on the State Department to get America out of this bloody, heathen, pagan, murdering UN before it's too late. Well, there's been a seething fury in my heart ever since the news flashed Wednesday that United Nations forces had opened fire and were attacking Katanga province, which is one of the largest centers of white civilization, factories, mills, mines, and to be found in Africa. It has been working in a very peaceful manner, and Moise Kishambi, which happens to be the Nigger premier, which has been elected in this area, and whose appointment approval has been with white approval, who has been taking intelligent direction from white men, and who has thus been able to hold the semblance of what the world's been demanding and trying to pressure on Africa, that the Negroes would have some influence in government. But at the same time, his civilization has continued with white schools, hospitals, missions and stations and farms, factories, mines going on. But this is the rich prize. This is the plunder the communists want. They want the diamond mines. They want the copper mines. They want the values of the wealth of Katanga. Katanga seceded from the new Congo state when it was formed because the Congo state, its president, its premier, its commander of its military are all communists under the command of Antoine Gizenga, the communist master of the Congo. The United Nations has supported communism in the Congo. The United Nations continues to support and would put all men under communism. If, therefore, they talk about the right of self-determination, Katanga had the right to secede and remain an independent state. They have committed no crime. Irresponsible battles have gone on in Leopoldville and under the head of Congo government from Lumumba, Mobutu, and now, after his death, the newly appointed premier as they fought for the spoils. The fact remains at the present time, the Congo is filled with forces of hate which the United Nations has bred. We unfortunately have been paying the bills, the largest part of the financing of the Congo activities. We have watched these strange communist propaganda waves that fight for the mind of our nation, attacking the leadership that God put the white race here to produce throughout the world, of civilization and culture, in colonies, in administration, in guidance and assistance, and then in enforcing the law. In fact, the bloody troops of the Congo have demonstrated their hatred of everything constructive and that they have no responsible capacities for self-governing without white men's influence. They have moved in time after time to rape, murder, and kill, or wipe out whole communities, burn their factories, churches, and schools, and then eat one another when they ran out of something else to do. Without the restraint of the white man, there is little help. United Nations troops that had Canadian forces and others when they first went in were ground in the dust while their faces were pushed in the mud by the Negro troops of the communist forces of the Congo. And this is what the government of Katanga did not want. They wanted to remain an independent and free society. And they have been told they would have to join the Congo. Who tells anybody what they have to do today? The United Nations. United Nations arrested some of their white leaders, kidnapping them out of an area of the Katanga province on the early part of last week, and Life magazine slanted his prayer booth, Ruth slanted mine for Bruce's slanted story, showed them being shipped out and back to the Belgium and the other places. These brilliant, narrowly clad white officers of the Belgium Army and previously other forces in Africa were referred to as mercenaries being sent back to Europe. Well, if you happen to be a second or third generation white man in Africa, you're not a mercenary. You've got as much right on that soil as anybody else, especially when you went there under the assurances of government and helped to build civilization. The fact is that on Wednesday afternoon, if you're aware of this, you know that there's been battling going on. You must remember that United Nations troops were under the command of General Matri, and this man is a Hindu who wears the symbol of Kali, the hated goddess of India's cult mark. His caste mark carries the mark of Kali, which is the enemy of all civilization and culture except Hindu and pagan idol-worshipping forces. He and his bloody troops are a part of the UN forces. There is with him also other dark troops, plus the unfortunate Irish and the unfortunate Swedes that were involved.
However, you must remember that Dag Hammarskjöld has supported this communist foreign government inside of the Congo, and on Wednesday they demanded without further notice that the government of Katanga surrender from its secession and automatically disband its armies and join with the Congo government. Nobody paid any more attention to this, the previous demands, and without further notice the United Nations attacked the province of Katanga. They opened up with bombs, hand grenades, machine guns, and tank equipment. They blasted and destroyed people right and left. Then as some started to resist and fight back, the call came from the pagan heathen commander from India. They were to shoot everybody on the streets that moved, and they were to shoot anybody that they found with a weapon in their possession. Can you imagine anybody in Africa without a weapon in their possession? Especially in the Congo, everybody was to be shot by what? By the order of pagan that serves at Kayleigh's altars. More than this, the United Nations command was ordered to attack, and they did. The Irish, the Swedes, the hordes of blacks that were a part of this United Nations army, and then the black and brown Indian troops attacked. They attacked women, they attacked children, many of whom took refuge in the great hotels and tall business buildings in downtown Elizabethville, where even then ricocheting bullets caught them and where attack was made upon these areas. In one single fortress, when they captured it, because they didn't even know a war was on, there were white officers and Negro members of the Katanga army, and they were captured, they were stood up against the wall, they were shot and bayoneted in the back by Indian troops. This is the United Nations, bloody, murdering, killing Red Army. And I'm ashamed of a nation that would support this kind of activity, but your government upheld the attack on Katanga province. So therefore, your government, under this type of degenerated administration, supported a mass murder against white men and against the province inside of Africa, and you can't tell me again the United Nations is supposed to keep people from war, or that it's a peaceful institution, or it wants to help the Africans. All it's there for is to develop the bidding of communism and leadership in Washington, and to support this should be impeached and tried and put in the prison. In fact, this very week, Senator Dodd got up in the Senate yesterday, and he blasted this situation, and he called this one of the most murdering, infamous activities in history, and said it is only being compared with the communist tyranny and massacre and bloody activities of the Kremlin itself. And he said, I am disgraced that America should uphold this thing. Nations of Europe have called in, and they have decried it. They have become disgusted. Ireland's calling to call home all its contingents. No Irishman's ever going to fight for the UN again. But the United Nations had ordered Irishmen to attack white men in a fight for the Antichrist, and they've just about all been massacred and wiped out. And we're sorry for the Irishmen that were caught in this measure, but Katanga and its officers were right. Washington is wrong, UN is wrong, and every American better pray that we get out of this thing, lest we have to rise and overthrow it for our own liberty. This is the Antichrist. This is no longer time to work with your hands gloved. This is the time to call it what it is. This evil net that's thrown around our nation and entwines the minds of leaders in our society requires that you speak, you pray, you act. If America doesn't get out of the UN now, then, my friends, we shall act with prayer and with condemnation and with the curses of the Most High God until judgment falls on that institution and everybody that would keep us in it. Said it wouldn't work, you watch the fire come down out of heaven. You watch it hit. You watch it strike. You watch it move man. Because God is going to get us out of this evil thing, but it's going to take your voice, your protest, and your stand along with it to start that great ball of fire moving across the nation. And this is the one time when everybody can now see that this is a murdering, infamous institution that wouldn't do anything against the Reds in Hungary, wouldn't help in Indochina, has never lifted its hand to give its victories, defeated General Douglas MacArthur in Korea, and now has the audacity to attack a peaceful area and turn it into a Holocaust of war. Already some judgments have rolled back on UN. For as the Katanga province retaliated, they retaliated with armored cars and with mortars, machine guns, grenades, low-flying aircraft, which the industrial leaders and concerns and people of Katanga have been buying through the months against just such a possibility. UN probably didn't figure out how strong it would be. UN forces have been rolled back on every front. They have been dealt crushing defeats. And out of the jungle now comes two jungle tribes of the Congolese, who they now come to Katanga with 1,200,000 people and over 200,000 men among their warrior groups. And they said, Katanga has been attacked by United Nations, and therefore these two jungle contingents said, we'll join with Katanga in throwing the United Nations back. And so tonight, 200,000 wizzy-wizzies right out of the heart of the jungle, probably no better than any other Congolese, but they're in there now fighting, and their swarming Black Sea overwhelmed UN outposts, and the UN is being crushed tonight, utterly. No wonder Dag Hammarskjöld grabbed the plane and flew right back there, and he's meeting in Rhodesia tonight with Moise Tshombe to try to get a truce.
I personally don't think they ought to get one. I think Moise Tshombe and the white leaders of Katanga ought to keep that army rolling until they've got all the Congo under their hands, and then notify the world, get out, the Congo's ours. It was only last week members of the Foreign Service and your State Department declared that the time had come when we better get rid of Sophie Williams and the rest of these people stirring up trouble in Africa, that Africa needed the white man. Without the white man, there was no progress and no civilization, and it was a catastrophe to try to remove the white man from Africa. Who said that? Your Foreign Service experts who work for your service, your State Department, that are tired of all this propaganda from communism and from a group of pseudo-intellectuals that should have no degree whatsoever and shouldn't teach in any college and should never be the information stream of the peoples of the world. So we have a little picture of what it's about. Now you can see what the United Nations would do. Don't ever let them put any troops down in Texas, no matter where they come from. Don't let them put them, my friends, in Washington or California. Don't let the United Nations ever station troops of any foreign power on your soil for training or for any other purpose, because you never know when they're going to put through some crazy edict in the UN and turn these troops on you. Don't let them ever make a move through the United States Congress or through any branch of your government that would take away from your sportsmen and your private citizens their arms to not only engage in their sport, but to defend themselves, when your Constitution guarantees you the right to have and own and bear arms is not to be infringed on. But in this vast conspiracy, UN is already trying to work out laws that would disarm the citizens of all countries where this right permits. You know what they want to do? They want to disarm Christian intelligent Americans. They want to also be able to put UN peace forces in your nation and every other. That's why these stepping stones to these infamous bills. And then suddenly they would have a disarmed citizenry. They would have a dictatorial, know-nothing Washington leadership. And they would have a Congress that had abdicated. And you would say it can't happen here, but you would say it with leaders in jail cells, with yourselves being herded off to factories and the places of work, with them ordaining how much you're going to get. And that would be the end of America if God didn't have another plan for this. And God's plan is going to work. We're going to help implement it. And you're going to see a mighty victory that's going to save America. Now, this is an important thing. That's why we tell you, don't forget. Don't write. Don't leave it for the next person, the next seat. But as a Christian American, you better write to your Congress to keep this infamous bill that affects the security and the independence of our nation from going through. No one said no one should touch anything like this. I'm going to tell you, you better touch this or there won't be anything worth touching. So we stand in a world tonight that is torn in with upheaval. The communist world threatens, and all the neutrals for Russia wants you to surrender. The administration has supposedly challenged the world with its firmness on their end, but it runs over there to negotiate after it said there wasn't anything to negotiate about. Even Mr. Kennedy took up the line, there's nothing to negotiate about, after everybody else said it. Now what's he getting ready to negotiate for then? What's Mr. Rusk got to talk over on Berlin? What's Mr. Kennedy got to talk over on West Berlin? It's a free city, it shall stay a free city, it belongs by a permanent agreement to West Germany, and that's all my friends there is to talk about. If they want to come in on it, then let them have the strength of our fire.
Amen.
There are those who say, oh well, that would be suicide. It will not be suicide.
I think it's time that you and every Christian American started to think what you have as a divine right. If you have an intelligence and faith enough to accept what God promised you as a divine right, then that's the reason why they've been able to brainwash you and put all these things down on you that they have. Someone says, well, you can talk about protection, divine right, and divine administration, but if they can overwhelm us with their troops, we've had it. There isn't anybody on the face of the earth that can overwhelm the nations of God's kingdom when the sons and daughters of God stand firm. Someone said, Dr. Swift, I haven't had my air raid shelter dug yet. I have no place to go when the bombs fall. Well, that doesn't shouldn't bother you at all. If you've got faith that when those bombs start to fall, then, my friends, that would be one of those circumstances that you will find that 99% of all the rest of Americans, the country, don't have any bomb shelter either. Well, you say, that's going to be the end of America. No. The first place, I don't think that there's going to be very many bombs hit on American soil, believe that or not. They're not going to hit here because God has said otherwise. There's not going to be any battle on American soil. Oh, there's going to be a lot of battle on American soil. There's going to be the biggest battle between Americans and un-Americans, between Christians and non-Christians, between Americans and communists that's ever been seen in this country. And when we get through, the concentration camps and the graveyards are going to have more communists, more un-Americans, and more rascals than most people ever dreamed of.
But someone said, oh, Dr. Swift, those bombs did fall and I don't have a shelter. We know what's going to happen even if it's not a direct hit. The radiation is going to spread all out, going to kill us all. Now, the first place, I don't believe it. I want you to know that among some of your leading physicists, they don't believe it either. I believe that normally an intensification of no electrogens of radioactivity, if it came in overwhelming waves and remained for a long time, would speed up the aging of the human body. And I believe that it would be a bad thing to endure such intense radiation over a long time. I believe it's definitely bad to be caught under a nuclear blast that's liable to kill you. You won't be any better than people die all the time from everything that they die with. I believe that the force of that blast has a perimeter of danger. But I want you to know that right in the middle of Nagasaki and Hiroshima, there were hundreds of thousands of people that were caught by radiation. They were burned like a bad case of the sunburn. Some of them had great welts on their skin from high, intense radiation burns. The immediate prophecy of medical scientists were that they were going to develop leukemia and cancer of the bloodstream, and terrible cancers would break out all over them, and the majority of them would die hideous deaths. 15 years have rolled by since that fateful time, almost 16 years. There have only been 300 cases of leukemia in the areas where the bomb exploded, and there might have been that many cases of leukemia if they never had exploded the bomb. And while many people have had bad burns and have scars on them, they are showing no more adverse effects right now than the scars themselves. And that would certainly decry the fact that everybody that got a radiation burn was going to shrivel up and die, and that they would have the hideous deaths that have been prophesied. Yes, an atom bomb is a terrible thing. A nuclear weapon is a terrible thing. It's unfortunate that America ever dropped them on any country anywhere in the world to satisfy the cry of the powers behind the scenes that wanted to create such a Holocaust when it wasn't necessary. But I'm going to tell you this. Again, we were dealing with implacable rascals. And we're dealing with power that was at least in the world, and so the inevitable patterns of the combination happened even though Japan had offered to surrender without the atom bomb. And this is one of the horror factors of the international forces that were behind the scenes. However, just remember this, that the radiation fallout, which is coming from Russian nuclear bombs, have a great number of people in hysteria. And it's true that the radiation was 35 times higher the other day over parts of Asia than it has been before, and we had a 35% increase in radioactivity being carried in the air in California, too. We want you to know the tests, however, of individuals and of food and of milk showed very little increase in plutonium at all. And you may say, well, that's going to kill everybody one of these days. Well, that is only a matter of conjecture. The fact still remains that the enemy is trying to frighten you all over the world into abject appeasement of the Soviet Union.
The Soviet Union has gone into eye test and speeding up of nuclear testing. You have resumed nuclear testing. If the Soviet Union was afraid that fallout was going to kill everybody on the face of the earth, they wouldn't take a chance on resuming nuclear testing because you're in position to deliver more nuclear warheads to Soviet objectives than they can deliver destruction against you tonight. Just remember that.
Someone said that if they strike the first blow, we will not be able to do that. If they push the button for the first blow, I believe that your destruction will hit them and you will never feel the weight of their destruction. When they push the button, the signal is on. But I want you to know tonight that there are certain covenants that Almighty God has made. First, I would have you turn with me to the 90th Psalm, in which you who have been the celestial children of the Eternal Father in the heavens before the world was framed, and now through the Adamic race are the children of God in bodies of flesh, but still have these words to say, Yahweh, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth of the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, and thou art Yahweh. Now we note that the declaration of the Scripture has been concerning these facts, concerning the things of God, that he hath promised us many things. The 91st Psalm says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to Yahweh, He is my refuge and my fortress. He is my God, and in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with His feathers under His wings, and thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. And my friends, that not only includes the rising up of evil and dark and subversive forces, but it also involves the threat of the bombing and the destruction and the great flying missiles that they might launch at night. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for these missiles that fly by day. The word here for arrow or missile inside the Hebrew that flieth by day. Nor for his germ warfare, the pestilence that he will send that walketh in the darkness, or the poisoning of your water supplies, or the destruction that waiteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. That's a covenant God has with every last one of the sons and daughters of Israel, of the great master race of God that He set in the world to bring in His kingdom. And for everybody that has intelligence enough to hear and to understand what I'm talking about, this is absolutely an indestructible covenant. Or you may say this won't work. Let me tell you something. In the misfortunes of being involved in war, and probably the most terrible war is a family battle where a great Christian nation like America and Britain and France is caught up by Jewish chicanery in a battle against another great Christian nation like Germany and all the hearts of Central Europe and Austria and these other countries. In the midst of such struggles and involved in the course of the battles that were the result of this, we in this congregation and in our congregations everywhere had numbers of youth that went out into battle. Many of them knew who they were, knew what household of God's camp in Israel they were in, and they went out with faith. Do you know that in each and every one of these cases where we accepted and made and declared a covenant with those parents and with those young men, as they went out, they went through World War II, and everyone came home. They went through all kinds of conditions. They were heroes. They were bold. They were fearless. They felt that they were covered with an immutable armor. And God brought every one of them home. You can laugh at it. You can say it doesn't work. But they all came home. We didn't lose them all. Now, this not only works, but when the God says 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, I watched a great earthquake move through Los Angeles, hit every Jewish business house that cracked and didn't bother anything that was Christian alongside of it. Saw it happen. Saw one building right alongside of a church. That all shaken up till it cost thousands upon thousands of dollars to repair it, never bothered the church. Now, sometimes churches get it, but a lot of churches have earned it. But I just want you to see that you can go right through and shake down a town, never heard other parts of it. I watched judgment fall in one community in California under an earthquake, and I went up there, and all the booze halls and all the hotels that had bad names and all the areas that had been involved in this were shaken down, and people were killed, and everything was broken up, and all around were homes that never lost anything but a few dishes. I know that God, even in the midst of an earthquake that shatters the city, can protect His own if they've got faith enough to believe this.
And after all, we could build with the people that are left. Remember that. Now, therefore, he says, only with thine eyes shall I behold the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made Yahweh, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy inhabitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. This is the hour when the enemy attacks the kingdom of God and the people of his kingdom. What better covenant agreement do you want than that? Someone said, I want some assurance. You can't get any more assurance than that promise. If you don't believe it, it won't do you any good. If you believe it, it's just as good, my friends, as though an army stood around, and an army you can't see does stand around. Now let me tell you about that army. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That's what the prophet called upon God to let his servants see when they came for Elisha, because they hated him. He was a man of God. And when they opened the eyes of the servant, he saw upon the hills or all around about the great mighty host of heaven. And my friends, you say, oh, they're in spiritual realms. They can't do any good. They can come riding in, my friends, as material as anything you ever saw, whenever they're ready. Just remember that Michael the great archangel is now standing by with one of the largest fleets of divine organization in all time and history. There are millions and millions of craft in the command of Michael the archangel, which according to the book of Daniel are waiting to come in and defend the children of God's kingdom at the right moment. You say, has he had any experience? You know how much experience Michael's had? Well, for the last 100,000 years, he's been commanding space fleets of unequaled size. In fact, way back when he threw Lucifer out of the heavens, when Lucifer tried to take over all the Milky Way, captured him, threw him into this solar system, and left his mangled, broken ship here in the earth. Michael would have come in and finished this thing as far as he was able, and God said, now just stop, Michael. Just leave him alone now. Leave him down there on the earth. We're going to handle this with our sons and daughters. And that's you. And you came into this world and you found a very active, mad, hornet devil doing the best he could to rule and destroy everybody on the face of the earth. Your race has had to cope with him ever since. Some people say he isn't, but they sure have to explain away all his children that are all over the world running hawk shops and everything else. That's just the blind, you know. Well, they're behind the evil of socialism, communism, and everything that goes with it, and they are the enemies of Christ from the crucifixion of Christ to this day. Now, let's take a look at what the Scripture says. Not only will I give my angels charge over thee, they're going to protect you, they're going to bear thee in their hands, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. These are symbolical. This is the host of the hordes of Asia and the dragon. This is the power of Lucifer and his armies. This is the power, my friends, of all the rapacious emblems that have been used by the beast system against you. God said, because he has set his love on you, therefore will I deliver him, I will set him on high. He hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. This is Israel, your race. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him. With a long life will I satisfy him. I will show him my salvation. Oh, but somebody said this terrible attacking power of the hordes of the enemy. Yes, there are lots of power there. But the 95th Psalm says that Yahweh is a great God. He's a king above all the Elohim, all his sons and daughters. So I turn over here now in the book of Isaiah. And I read here the declaration that he has made concerning you. He says, surely they are gathering together, all these hordes, and all my children, this is my covenant, he says, all thy children are going to be taught of God, and great shall be the peace of thy children. But, behold, all the enemy, the pagan, the heathen, in the 54th chapter of Isaiah, and the 15th verse, shall be gathered together. They're not coming because God's bringing them against you. They're coming because they hate you, and they shall come against thee, and they shall fall for thy sake. Behold, the Eternal said, I have created the smith, I've given him the vision. He that bloweth on the coals, that works with the metallurgy and fire. And all the instruments of warfare that are his work, I have created these tremendous weapons in the mind of men to destroy these powers of evil that come against you. But remember, concerning your enemies that steal your secrets, your enemies that would fight the kingdom of God, not one single weapon that is formed against you is going to prosper. Now this is a couplet of the Most High. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is a heritage of the servants of the Lord. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Eternal. So all their conspiracy and all their promises against you shall fail. When Jesus talked about the protection that belonged to Christians, and he tells about the fact that they had been begotten by his Spirit in the heavens, and he said, I have given them eternal life, they shall never perish, no man shall pluck them out of my hands. In his human existence, says Messiah Savior, I will not lose one of my disciples. No man shall pluck them out of my hands. Now, as the eternal Father God, he who has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus said, no man can pluck one single one of these Christians out of the hand of the eternal the Father. They say, well, that's just talking about our salvation. My friends, your salvation was ordained of God before the foundation of the world. Your eternal life was begotten by the Spirit, but he wants you to know that no one can take, destroy, or hurt, or do anything against the children of God's kingdom that are in the hollow of his hand. They cannot do that. You're just as sound and secure as it's possible to be, but you have the capacity under the direction of God to fight and overthrow evil and know that the evil that you are fighting against will be powerless in the climactic hours which are here. I turn to the declarations which have been given concerning the strategy of the enemy, and one of the things which the prophet Joel was to announce was that in that day, this day of the nuclear weapons, the great pillars of fire, the umbrellas of smoke, the day that Peter talks about when he says elements will dissolve in fervent heat, in that day, he said, all the people of my Israel and my holy government, Zion, that's not down in Palestine, those are the white Christian Americans, not these fraudulent occupiers who claim that they are who they are not. Now God said concerning this, in that day, every last one of my people that cry unto me shall be delivered. Every one. You say, well, but to do that, they won't resist. Oh, yes. God said the heathen are going to be gathered together. The heathen are going to come together in their valley, and they're going to assemble, and they're going to take counsel against you. And then he says, what's going to end up is they're going to be caught in the valley of my judgment because they've taken this position against you. That's what Joel said. Now there is no doubt that in all of these strategies that there are things that you are supposed to do. One of the first things you should do is see that every single communist agent is locked up or deported out of these United States so they can't turn loose the pestilence, so they can't poison the water supply. That's your part. God told you to clean the vipers out of the house. Then if you get bit by one, he says, I'll protect you. He didn't tell you to nurture them to your bosom. Now, I want you to know that God did said, I'll protect you from all these enemies that will come against you. But when it came to something like the United Nations, he says, come out of her. That's you're supposed to do. So what we need to do is call on God. What we need to do is follow his instruction, and then he's promised that violence shall no longer be heard in thy land, nor the wasting or destruction within thy borders. You know, I'd just like to see the wasting stop in our borders any time, whether by the hand of the enemy or by our elected individuals. All within thy borders shall call the walls of thy civilization, the salvation, and the gates of thy eternal one, the gates of praise. Now, you've been promised that God's going to give you protection. He's going to carry you through. He's not going to let any power that is within you destroy. Now, listen. This doesn't mean that we sit back and do nothing. Some people just don't understand what they're here for. God Almighty intends his kingdom to crush evil and to emancipate the earth. He's given you all these protections concerning your city, concerning your people, and then even protection concerning your warriors when they're on his business in this final struggle. That's one of the reasons why all the agencies of the enemy are turning loose their propaganda to try to make it appear so fearful to resist evil that you appease and surrender and then let this threatening, braggadocio government of the communists and the Asiatic move all over the world and keep right on gobbling up free nations. Oh, you said, but we've got leaders that rule obey. You know what the scripture says? God says, I'm going to raise up principle men, and you as the body of God in the world are to decry their activities, and you're to tell them they're your representatives, they're on your payroll. Your present tense is on your payroll. They may throw the FBI around him to protect him, and that's all right. You're not supposed to do anything to him. He's your elected representative, but you better write and you better tell him that he better do the things of God. He better get us out of UN. He better act like a Christian. And if he don't, the God will take him out of the way. And there isn't enough men in the FBI to protect you when God gets ready to remove the man. You say, well, this is not the way we should feel towards the president. We should feel, as the judgment of God's Spirit would feel, that if there is any individual in the body of flesh that would destroy the representation and the glory of my kingdom, then when he's unprofitable, we will cut him off and remove him, saith the Most High.
And know that his grace will follow him still, and someday you'll learn that it's better to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than be a president and work for the UN.
You know, there are a lot of these fellows that have looked at the camp of the world order so long that one of their educations is going to be in the hour just ahead when we triumph over the darkness, that they're going to be put right outside of the great nations of the kingdom, and they're going to have to dwell out there among these lands of darkness. And they'll know, my friends, what it means when they were invited to the feast and didn't come in, to go out into the outer darkness and live with the rest of the world. Because I tell you, when you get outside of the great white nations of God's kingdom, you're in outer darkness and you're an outsider and you know it. And when you get back into a great Christian nation like this, you know you've gotten back into God's country. You know, we've been so busy paying attention to our own affairs and the affairs of our families and the affairs of our faith and the institutions we belong to, and all over America. America's been so busy about this that they paid little attention to who ran their government. They paid little attention to political activity. They've heard in their churches the word said that politics isn't clean enough for the Christian, so we might as well stay out of it. Let me tell you this. It's your business to get into it and see the Christians are the political leaders of America and the statesmen we elect. Because if you leave it to the rascals, you'll get just what you're getting. Someone said no one should talk this way of our elected representatives. Our greatest trouble is the appointees. The appointees. Can you imagine America ever reaching the time when we would permit, or that the Senate or the Congress would ratify, the appointment of a man by the President of the United States to act as a director in a United Nations agency that didn't have to answer to the people, and only the President, and the President, if he agreed with him and could control the nation, would complete. Why, someone would have told you that that wasn't possible if I tried to tell you 6 months ago that that was right now in the hopper, and that the Senate of the Congress would go along with it, and that they were on the road to dictatorship against which there was no appeal, you'd say it can't be done. And already the Senate voted it all away. I think we should look over the voting records, and every man in the United States Senate that voted for this measure yesterday should never be returned to office. I don't care who he is. I think it should be a great Christian project across this nation to never return to office a man who voted in the Senate yesterday for the passage of this bill that could put United Nations priests in authority or power to carry out objectives in a bill like this in America. No wonder a great congressman like Congressman Utz became ill from the realization of what has happened. That is one possession of the student of prophecy that is greater than anything that can be given to him by the world, and that is the assurance of God that he's going to deliver his kingdom because his name and his honor is on it, and this being one of the great nations of God's kingdom that has one of the biggest responsibilities to the close of these affairs. That outstretched wings of that eagle up there, these stars and stripes, and that cross of Christ is your most valuable asset and your identity as the great nation of the outstretched wings of the eagle in the book of the 18th chapter of Isaiah. As it relates to you and in Revelation, is your promise that God's going to help you win. We're going to get the rascals out of the way. We're going to clear the decks for action. And we're going to knock communism and its evil right off of the face of the earth. Now, if you would turn to the meetings and assemblies, the public gatherings, and all the forums, you'll decide that America's waking up and it wants to get rid of this thing. And that as America wakes up and wants to get rid of it, that even a president in your land has to say, I'm against communism and all these others. Then, my friends, their actions had better follow their words. Thank God for senators like Senator Todd that get up and would say on the floor of the United States Senate that this whole thing is a massive communist conspiracy. There's no question about it. But I want you to know that this is part of the time schedule. But even right now, there are red agents with vast pestilences for germ warfare. And this mass pestilence will probably be more dangerous normally than with just the missiles that an enemy brings. An ancient covenant was made with you, and it declared in the scriptures that if you will keep the commandments and ordinances which I have given unto you, none of the sicknesses and diseases and plagues of the heathen will come nigh you. Now these are some new ones they've built up especially for you, against which there are no known anti-toxins. But I want you to know that if you will claim your righteousness for all the law consummated in your faith in Christ, while you seek to obey and do the things of divine will and law for your own protection, that none of the sicknesses and diseases will come nigh thee. Well, there isn't anything wrong with getting in some water to drink that will be contaminated. An intelligent nation would knock the poison that's in the water already out. America should rise up and throw the chlorine out of all the water supplies in the United States. And then they should look suspect on all that want to put it in. I think one of the most important things for Americans to learn even right now is how to win against these forces that have been brainwashed in their own nation. The propaganda agencies of the red world that want to reduce you to a cow-like mentality have been trying to infect the water supplies of your nation with chlorine. They've gotten it in some. They've gotten a lot of dentists to get out in front and say, this is going to reduce cavities. And you know as well as I do, when you look at the noses on some of these fellows, that if they thought chlorine was going to reduce cavities, they wouldn't say a word about it. Who ever heard of a dentist that wanted to keep anybody from getting a cavity unless they got it in his office? So when you see all these strange peddlers come out and try to put this stuff in your water, then I tell you what Americans should do. They should boycott ever going to any dental office that supported it. Someone said that, Dr. Swift, you may be in the hollow of God's hand, but look at these unchristian, anti-American strangers that have come into our country. How can we do anything about this? Our laws protect them. Yes, but you don't have to buy their goods. Stop trading with them. Dry them up on the economic bush and send them to Israel. Anytime people hate your nation, fight your way of life, one of the best ways to obtain a victory is to stop supporting them. Someone said there wouldn't be any clothes left to wear. Let me tell you something. There are clothing outfits in America that belong to Christians. And the very moment that businessmen found out that Christians wanted to buy Christian and trade Christian, that a lot of them make an investment in the best and biggest market in America, 140 million of them. But you got to start somewhere. Someone said to me, Dr. Swift, that's not right. But if you tell them just to buy a Christian, that's not the thing to do. Well, every kosher delicatessen tells every Jew to buy kosher, doesn't it? Trade over here and buy kosher. Don't you touch anything that isn't kosher. And I think that we in turn should say, don't you buy anything that wasn't made with the sign of the cross. I think it'd be a good thing if we just stamp that cross on everything we ate and everything we bought, and let that be a mark of indication of whether it was produced by Christians or not. Don't you think that's a good idea? Someone said, I don't think we ought to do that. I think we ought to do that. I think we ought to buy by the sign of the cross. I think that one of the great developments in America should be a great Christian association that will sweep America, determined to keep the Christian society our organic unit. We may not get much help out of the organized denomination, but out of the great New Living Church of Christ, I think it would be one of the most popular moves in history. I want you to know that you are so close to such big events. The enemy is going to be involving you in
a multitude of wars. War, we told you, is going to break out in October in the Middle East, in the areas around the Dead Sea. I actually know that military instructions concerning where the war is going to break out have already been given to a lot of military. They're already planning the logistics of where we stand. I'll tell you what happened. Tonight, the Red Hordes of Soviet Russia are right on the borders of Turkey. Turkey may have made a mistake when they put Menderes, and though they said he was a dictator, though he was a very strong friend of the United States government for 10 long years, and he was in power. And so finally, under the pressures of student uprisings, though the army has still remained friendly to us, though whether or not this was sagacious or not, they took the head of the cabinet, two cabinet heads, and the premier of Turkey, and they sentenced him to death 3 days ago for being dictatorial, which they said was against the constitution of Turkey, though all the people liked it and put them in power. Yesterday, they hung President Menderes and the chief deputy and his assistant inside Turkey. Now, this is 1961. This is the day when civilization has arrived. Well, no longer do men hang presidents or hang political leaders because they disagree with them. My friends, you have made no further advancement as far as the forces of violence that are in the world today than you had in the days of Louis XIV or when Robespierre brought down Madame Dolatine on the head of political opposition. And even while inside of Turkey, though Turkey may be your ally against communism, and there's one good thing you can say about Turkey soldiers, they are courageous. But tonight, while the heads of Menderes roll, the actual trained and brilliant leadership to hold Turkey together that knew all of the processes to do this has gone. And Russia stands tonight on the Turkish border and Wilson's platform when we're committed to defend her in the matter of hours. That changes the scene from Berlin a little. Massive forces of troops have been going into Korea, and ships have been bringing in munitions, and planes have been flying into our airfields now for 3.5 days. The report of this massive buildup in Korea and the speed in which it's been done the last 3.5 days doesn't mean that North Korea is going to just gather a peaceful parade for a demonstration. Now the world's about to explode. Mr. Khrushchev will not back up unless he can get you to abjectly meet his demands. If your leaders appease Russia in Europe, they ought to stay there. America ought to rise up as a people, and leadership ought to declare itself in Washington and say they don't speak for us. America still refutes communism and any leader that sells us out. For the hour must dawn in the hearts of this nation when it must separate itself. I've talked to a great number of congressmen who say we would like to impeach, but we can't get away with it. Though a lot of people would agree with us, there's not enough that'll stand up to this. They're afraid that they won't get a proper decision from the Senate, which always sells us out. Just think, when the Congress say, we win in the Congress, we lose in the Senate. Every bloody bill that's been passed against you has been passed in the Senate first. I think the Republican whip, Mr. Kuchel, should never even be in the United States Senate. In fact, there are several men running against him that have already challenged his internationalism, his one-worldism, and his support of all the things that are wrong. I saw a letter he wrote back to one person from Kuchel's office. He said, now, this may disagree with you, but I want you to know that I firmly uphold the United Nations and all that it is attempting to do. And I embrace the development of a world government and world humanitarian leadership. What silly propaganda. What an empty head. There's nothing humanitarian about these UN forces. Remember Katanga this week. And so again, I cite you this.
And in this hour, when all of the significance of these events point to the great danger, point to the imminence of war, point to the threat, point to the fact that this week Russia said we're going to smash and destroy the cities of America, we're going to so crush America that you will be an object lesson to the world, and no further opposition will ever be lifted against our program to emancipate the world and to redistribute its goods without the evil capitalistic forces of America interfering. But it's smash it, they said.
Scripture said, I will be like a wall of fire about you. You know, my friends, that even detonating devices inside of some of the long-range missiles of the enemy will go off before they ever arrive. I want you to know that with a sound like the greatest of all waterfalls are going to come sweeping into your atmosphere forces that the enemy never dreamed of contending with. You're standing in a space age on the edge of the threshold of the universe. But remember, you can only take a step or two that way. They've been running that way for ages. You see, you're not isolated. The communication systems of the kingdom are perfect, even to the thought and the intent of your heart. That the angels are informed, that the archangels and the many kinsmen, your relatives, are informed. That the great and mighty hosts of space, well organized, are informed. And here is where the honor of God is at stake. That these nations of His kingdom are not going to be wiped from the earth, but are going to fulfill the destiny of the outstretched wings of the eagle. They're going to bring in peace and justice and righteousness on the earth. And in the hour when they come against you, the Israel of God, you will have the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And when the corruption of evil falls, and mystery Babylon cries, more to say about this, the cry is oi, oi, oi to the heavens. I want to tell you something the other day. Premier Khrushchev was riding along, and a great big gas cylinder in one of the mechanical contrivances nearby exploded in the heat. It went off with the sound of a bomb, but it wasn't close enough to him to do any harm, but he jumped off of his vehicle and cried, oi, 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 oi! That's not Russian. He just cracked a whip in back of one of them. He yelled your tag and listened to inquire away from the Bronx to the city of Hollywood. The scripture says in the book of Revelation, when God snaps this final whip against this evil, they'll cry, oi, 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 oi. These, the merchants of the earth who ruled their hours, supported and kept this institution that deceived all nations going. Somebody said, Dr. Swift, where am I supposed to move to? Well, the other day, the Russians launched a missile that left the soil of the Soviet Union and plummeted out into the Pacific, and they had a group of trawlers out there photographing where it landed, and they had a great big circle, and it landed right in the middle. Now, when you put four ships out in a circle, and there's 2 miles diameter, and a missile comes over and drops down in the middle, and the smart Germans worked on the other end. But I want you to know that if they're looking for you, I don't know where you'd go. Someone said, I'm going to hide away in the Rockies. Where, in Denver? I'll tell you a little secret. The headquarters of the 13th District of the Communist Party is in Denver. The military logistics of how to take over the United States was for the congregation of mass internal armies and legions of communism to move to towards Denver, and then coastal-wise, the sabotage was to come, the paratroopers were to move in, and from the Arctic, as well as from submarine bombardment, as well as cargo-carrying subs, there was to be great uprising and activity from the Denver area fanning out, and while government attention turned here, this was going to hit us on the post, it was going to come down out of the air. This is a part of the master plan they had. And chaos and excitement, exploding dams, sabotage water supplies, and they were going to hit from the center and fan out. Well, you say, well, the place for me is to go way up around Longbourn or up in Sonora, back in the high Sierras, way back in one of those small communities which the Russians don't want. But the other day, the Secret Service was up in Longbourn in Sonora because some of the top-notch commanding brains of the Communist Revolution were hiding out up there, and they had the names of everybody in the community what side they were on.
Someone said to me, I've got to get out of this dangerous spot here in San Francisco. I think I'll move over on the other side of the bay into the small hills and into the canyons of Mill Valley. It's beautiful over there, and I'm out of the way, and even a shockwave wouldn't hit me. But there are more communists moving in Mill Valley close to San Francisco than any part of the San Francisco area. So that won't make any difference. Let me tell you, the best place not to be is where the communists are concentrated, because the ones that are going to receive the judgment of God is not the kingdom, it's the enemy. Someone said, you thought that this is going to be close, it's going to be violent, it's going to be sudden, it's going to be shaking, the earth is going to reel with it.
Talk you have just heard.